I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
On show, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, Super Bowl champion Keyshawn Johnson from KJZ. Keyshawn, how are you? And my question for you right out of the gate is, the game is in Tampa. It's in Ray J. Is your group, is your team from O2 going to get together and be part of any type of celebration down there?
I have no idea. I'm still up in New York. I'm not going down to the Super Bowl. I'm watching on television. And I've talked to a number of ex-teammates over the last couple of weeks, but I don't know if anything's formally planned by anybody for that matter. You see how short my answers are, Bart?
You put too much pressure on us. You put too much damn pressure on us, because when you go short, that means we have to come up with more questions. We thought you were going to elaborate. Well, how about this one? You know, when you look at this matchup and you look at these quarterbacks, do you ever get envious at the fact that the bums that you played with during your career?
You know, to be honest with you, Bart, I can only have done so much with the guys that I had. Vinny Testaverde, I got him in the end. He was fabulous. I mean, he helped propel my career in 1998 to another level. And then I got Brad Johnson. I won the Super Bowl with. Outside of that,
did you win it in spite of Brad Johnson or because of him?
No, we won the Super Bowl because of Brad Johnson and our defense. I think people want to look at the defense because we had so many Hall of Famers or potential Hall of Famers, and it was such a dominant defense. But our offense clicked at the right time. Brad knew what to do. He wasn't a guy who turned the football over. He wasn't a guy who cost us games. He did what you need to do to win Super Bowls. And if you look at Super Bowls in the history of the Super Bowl, how many quarterbacks have you seen just go nuts in the Super Bowl? I mean, I understand people think, oh, it's about Patrick Mahomes and it's about Tom Brady. Well, you know, when Tom was winning Super Bowls, those defenses were playing great. Mm-hmm. You know, the Baltimore Ravens had a solid defense, but they also had Joe Flacco, you know. Yeah. And so when you look at it, you know, Trent Dilfer had a great defense, but he had to throw the ball to Stokely. So, you know, I get what you're saying. And, yes, to answer your question, because I don't want to be on a stopwatch like you. I wish I could have played with some great quarterbacks outside of Brad and Vinny in my career. I imagine if I was with one guy for 12 years, what would that look like?
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about earlier. That defense you talk about, your Bucs team that won that Super Bowl, Simeon Rice and Warren Sapp, obviously, Derek Brooks, Rondé Barber, John Lynch. I mean, you're talking about a stout defense. But
hey, Key, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something about what I remember about that 2002 defense and team that you guys had? I remember y'all coming to Baltimore, and this was when, you know, the Ravens had depleted from all the great players that they had. And the most disrespectful thing ever done to me on the football field was I was walking on the field, special team player, talking crap, and Warren Nathaniel Sapp touched me on my shoulder and turned me around and looked at the back of my jersey and said, "Who the hell are you?" And I wanted to kill his fat butt, man, sitting up there with his little Beyonce dance, man. But it was funny. It was great, man. And I knew that team was destined on a whole nother level that year, as that was my introduction to the NFL.
Yeah, what we, you know, I was telling somebody, I don't know, it might have been on my show and some other people, that particular team, we could have ran off and probably got two more championships after beating the Raiders. Like if you take a piece of fruit, we were ripe. Like we were right where you needed to be. We wasn't hard. We wasn't mushy. We was right where you needed it to be. And because of, you know, your success that you have, sometimes egos get in the way, and it kind of broke things up because our head coach decided that he wanted to do things differently, and it kind of was a demise. It was the demise of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after that Super Bowl. You know, everybody started getting traded, or he deactivated me, and our general manager leaves in the middle of the season to go take a job. How weird is that? The general manager of a team leaves in the middle of the season. It's so bad, he doesn't even want to be there. He leaves to go take the Atlanta job.
Crazy.
In the middle of the year, the guy who created and orchestrated, along with Tony Dungy, this amazing football team, it was so bad after the Super Bowl win, he bolted. Said, I ain't dealing with this. I'm out of here. So we had all type of issues going on because we was truly a rock star type team with a lot of personalities, big personalities, a lot of swag and flash, and that's what wound up happening.
Is that the issues you had with Gruden? Is that what led to you leaving there so quickly after the Super Bowl?
I think, you know, Han, it was one of those deals where my issues was with him when he first got there. See, a lot of people don't realize that because we won the Super Bowl that year. But those issues started that year. Just because, you know how it is. Some people, they get their egos involved. And, you know, I was coached by a Hall of Fame coach in Bill Parcells. I'm coming over from there. He comes there. I'm coached by Tony Dungy. I'm their guy. He wants to put his blueprint on me, and it's very hard to put a blueprint on somebody when they already are ripe and ready to go. It's very hard for somebody to say, well, I coached him. He's the guy. You know, it's hard. Rather than embrace who I was, he was someone who wanted me to be different. He wanted me to bow down to him, and that, was, as you know, was never going to effing happen. Never in a million years. And so that was kind of the demise and the end of it. But then even that year, after we won the Super Bowl, the next year, Kenny McCardell got let go. Who else? Joe Gervicius left. Warren Sapp left. John Lynch left. Dexter Jackson left. So it was kind of like that was the beginning to the end. Brad Johnson was benched. And it's, you know, so that's just what it was.
So not everybody can handle success. And you look at a team like Kansas City, Mahomes got a half a Billy, but he left some meat on the bone to make sure that they can sign Chris Jones. And it looks like they have the recipe to kind of be the next dynasty. But I said something, and like I said, is sometimes what I say is a little controversial. I said that whoever wins this game can potentially be the next dynasty. Because if Tom Brady wins this year after having no preseason, no OTAs, a new team, new system, and, you know, trying to incorporate Antonio Brown, trying to incorporate Gronk late in the season, Godwin's hurt, Evans in, he navigated through all of that. And if he wins a Super Bowl this year, what's to say that he can't win one next year, retire, and a guy named Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be leaving Green Bay, and that'd be right for him to maybe go down there. So I say whoever wins this game potentially can be the next dynasty.
You know, I don't know that Green Bay is going to let Aaron Rodgers go. I think Aaron Rodgers will be getting an extension here in the next several months.
Oh, wow. That's breaking news.
I think so, too.
Well, I think he'll be getting a large extension here in the next several months. I don't know that for a fact, but something just tells me, based on me looking at the salary cap, looking at his numbers, looking at how he played and where things are, that in these situations, teams tend to extend guys that are like Aaron Rodgers. Because, let's face it, Green Bay, just because the situation happened with Brett Favre, with Aaron Rodgers, and he replaced him, they're not replacing Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love. I understand they drafted him, but that's not – they wasted a pick. That's just something that they did, and that's okay. They'll figure out how to get from out underneath that. In terms of Brady riding off into the sunset, whenever he's ready to do it, he's able to do it. I think, you know, one of the big key challenges for them on Sunday is going to be how do you match point for point with Kansas City. I know in the first game back in November – They made a 14-point rally in the fourth quarter, but it was a little bit too late. I think Kansas City took the foot off the gas. I don't see that happening in the Super Bowl. I think they win the game, and I think they win it pretty handsomely going away.
Keyshawn, you've talked about this on your show, and I know Bart and I have gone back and forth on this certainly as well when we talk about matchups in this game. We do want to talk about the quarterbacks as the marquee, But we're looking at, you know, and I heard also Kiwanuka and Canty talking about their old teammate, JPP, and his impact that he could have in this game. If Tampa's going to win this, just like you guys in 02, they're going to win it with their defense more than they will win it with Brady, don't you think?
If Tampa's – okay, here's what I would say about that sort of stuff. And I said to you a minute ago when I first got on the call, we were joking about defense.
Yeah.
Defenses are the ones that win the championships. Offense sustain the drives and put points on the board. Defenses get the ball back, and we score. Something that we did. Our defense got the ball from Rich Gannon five times, maybe even six. And we scored on it. We capitalized on it. That's what you do. It's not. This is not a New England Patriot Rams game where you hold the Rams at 3 points and New England only scores whatever it was, 10. It's not. This is not that type of game. I said this the other day on NFL Live, and Dan Orlovsky looked at me like I had frogs on my face and like I was stupid or something, like I've never played the game. Because I said Brady at this point in his career and where things are with this team is a super manager. And there's nothing wrong with being a super manager. That means that you're going to throw the ball to Scotty Miller with seven seconds in the first half and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And your defense is going to you're going to turn the ball over three times and your defense is going to allow 6 points. There's nothing wrong with winning a championship like that. But when you're a quarterback, I guess Dan felt like Brady can throw for 400 yards. Well, look, man, no quarterback throws for 400 yards and win the damn Super Bowl. The man threw for 500 yards and lost. No. So you understand where I'm going with this?
Yes.
As long as he does his job, they run the ball with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, and every now and then he hits his target, they'll win the football game if the defense plays right.
I tell you what, Key, I just Googled, and I think you completed more passes in your career to Dan Orlovsky. So, you know, that's enough said there. You don't have to worry about Dan and what he's talking about.
What is it with Dan? No, like, you guys both have issues with Dan.
He's a little agitator, man. He reminds me of Sean Salisbury. He's a Sean Salisbury of our day, man. He be saying a whole lot, man, but I ain't seen no favor back it up.
Dan is my boy. I ain't got no issues. Dan is my dude. He just, sometimes what happens with quarterbacks, especially when you talk about other quarterbacks.
It's all about them.
They don't like that. They hate when you talk about other quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are some of the most selfish you know what's on the planet. they are selfish as all outdoors. And what happens is people like you, Han, and not you per se, but people in the media prop them up so high that they think that their stuff don't stink.
Right.
And that's the problem that you have with quarterbacks.
They're
some of the most selfish dudes that you would ever play with. And people don't think of it that way. They go, oh, but think about it. They prop dudes up so high. You saw Bart on our show earlier today talking the difference between Matthew Stafford and Deshaun Watson. We like Matthew Stafford. We prop him up, right, because Matthew's been in Detroit. He's a great team leader. He's thrown for 5,000 yards. But meanwhile, we question what is going on with Deshaun Watson when he says he wants out, because we pick and choose how we want to elevate somebody. And I've always said this from day one in my career. And people, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, like, man, we going to pick and choose who we want to elevate. 2 years ago, we elevated Jared Goff. Within the last 2 years, we took basically a shovel, dug a hole, and buried him.
We do that
at all
sports.
He's in a hole with dirt on his face,
right?
And he may come out of it, but we pick and choose.
So let me
ask, yeah.
Exactly. It's about personal preference. You like somebody's personality. You're not judging them squarely on what they're doing and what they've done. I want to talk a little bit about Bruce Arians.
And I look at the same thing in my own career from a selfish standpoint. You pick and choose, right? You set a narrative. Oh, well, you know it. In 11 years, my numbers speak for themselves. Oh, well, this guy has better numbers, so therefore he's better. Well, the dude played 7 more years than me. Of course his numbers are going to be better. You know, so you pick and you choose how you want to set the narrative.
Exactly. I want to concentrate a little bit on, you know, we've been talking about the legacy of Mahomes. We've been talking about the legacy of Brady. But what does this do for Andy Reid, who was kind of known as Good Luck Chuck, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, until last year? you know, he finally got over the hump. What does this mean about his legacy? Does this elevate him above like Tony Dungy, Bill Cowher, some of these coaches that's in the Hall of Fame? What does this place him, and what does this mean for his legacy if he's able to kind of be the beginning of this dynasty? Because we don't expect him to play and be with Mahomes as long as, you know, Bill Belichick was with Brady. But he has an opportunity to maybe win three or four titles. But if he wins two, is that enough to elevate him past those guys? Because we've always known he's been great with the X and O's. He's just not been able to close the deal.
Here's what I would say. It takes him, and it certainly solidifies his Hall of Fame ballot. Whenever he retires, he becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I don't look at what he did in Philadelphia. I look at what he's done over the course of his career. I look at the fact that he's taken dudes like Cornbread Cobb and turned him into somebody that made some money from Arizona. I look at how he took A.J. Feeley, got him to make some money. I look at how he embraced Michael Vick and changed his life, and Michael Vick became Michael Vick again. I look at him drafting Donovan McNabb and turning Donovan McNabb into a multi-Pro Bowl-type player, Super Bowl-appearing quarterback when nobody wanted him in Philadelphia. I look at the Detmers. I look at all of the different things that he was able to do, Alex Smith, and then finding Patrick Mahomes when others passed on Patrick Mahomes, and now he has one of the most prolific quarterbacks at this age in NFL history doing what he does. So when I put all that together and package all that up, that tells a story. And by telling that story, it means that Andy Reid is released from all of the ghosts that have been out there hunting him in the past about why he can't get over the hump. I mean, anytime you go to, what, four or five championship games and you've tutored and done the things that you've done with some of those players, there's really nothing to question.
Keyshawn, I want to get off the Super Bowl before we let you go, and I want to ask you something that's more local to us, at least us, those of us who are here in New York. And that is something so Bart and I the other day had two Jets wide receivers on the show. I'm not sure if you heard the interviews, but one was Denzel Mims, the young wide receiver. The other was Breshad Perriman. We were asking them general questions, basically, about like with Mims, we asked what went wrong and any connection with Sam Darnold. And with Perriman, it was kind of the same thing. We would ask him about rumors about Deshaun Watson, but just generalities about the team, where it's headed, and some stuff. Neither guy seemed to really go out of their way to say a lot to either defend or praise Sam Darnold. It was more about – they both spoke excitedly about Deshaun Watson, which, of course, that makes sense. But do you read anything into that? And I understand you do have the bloodline, so that's why I'm asking you. Is there something to be read into that, that they, neither guy really went out of their way to say, no, Sam's our guy. We love Sam. He's our guy.
Well, tell him one of the statements about – he said, oh, well, we knew the ball was going to come a lot slower from
Well, yeah,
Sam.
Yeah. It was Mims said he had to adjust to Flacco's ball. Yeah, because it came faster than
now, slow down, Bart. I'm trying to explain something to me. I can't understand both of y'all talking at the same time, man.
Yeah.
One of the
key things was, like Mims said – you know, I had to adjust because, you know, Flacco's ball came at me a lot faster. And then when Sam threw it, I had to adjust to it because it wasn't coming at me as fast. And, you know, he called Sam Darnold, like he referred to him as the kid, which I found to be unbelievable because he's obviously you're the rookie. But the point is you were somebody that was pretty, you know, you don't have a filter. You speak your mind. When we hear this from guys, are we overreaching here? Are we looking for something? Or is there something, would you say, no, there's definitely something there if neither guy really went out of their way to defend that quarterback?
No, man, you're doing New York Sports Talk Radio right now, right? I mean, that's what this is, a national show.
I'll take
New
that
York
as
Sports
a compliment.
You're looking for something to create content when there's nothing that's there. There's nothing to see that's there. They're young kids that really haven't dealt with the media, especially media in New York, a whole bunch in their career. So they've got to kind of tippy-toe around certain questions, even though they may have seemed more excited about Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun's name is really in the news right now, more so than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's name is in the news about what if we should, where it feels like the Deshaun thing is right there, like it's going to pop, like it's going to happen when you are listening to people talking about it. And so I can certainly see where these young men kind of just, you know, was like, yeah, Deshaun, you know, because Deshaun is cool. Deshaun is cooler, all of that sort of stuff than Sam. Sam is a quarterback. Deshaun is a like just a cool dude that played the position at quarterback and does it well. So you're going to approach it differently when you're having that conversation. I personally would have just probably said something to the degree of, that's not my decision. I'm gonna catch the ball from whoever they throw in there to throw it to me. And that's how I would have left it. I wouldn't have gotten into those sort of things. I would just shut y'all down with, yeah, I don't care. Whoever they decide to go with, I'm gonna do my job.
And you could have gone the Jerry Jeudy route with us and just not answer anything.
What'd you say?
Here's what I would say about Jerry Jeudy. I listened to the interview. And I fought whoever publishes PR, whatever, I fought that. Because the young man probably shouldn't have been put on for whatever distraction. I don't know what it was going on. But if he wasn't ready to conduct an interview, you probably shouldn't have put him on.
Agreed.
With two professionals that know what they're doing. Because it comes off embarrassing. And it comes off as if he went to school at Alabama in the SEC, and they didn't really teach him anything. And that's unfortunate that he had to be put on a national show. And to this degree, he may not even realize that it wasn't good. He may think he did a good job. It all depends on the people you surround yourself with in terms of teaching you those things and helping you navigate through some rough waters at times. That's how I saw the interview. I'm like, why would they even put him on?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we gonna have to send him to
you. Y'all did your job.
Well, the first thing I did was just to make sure he was okay. Like I checked on him, like you good? Like because you know there was some hesitation, something might have been happening behind him.
Ron, why don't you go check on them damn Knicks, man?
Hey, listen, this is the best they've been in 3 years through a first quarter of a season, and they might have a point guard. Things are looking up. I'm not feeling so bad, but my question for you:
5-2, and you have people buying season tickets for next year.
Well, yeah, hopefully, but I'll tell you what: who's the best team in LA right now? I'm not quite sure though, Keith. I don't know.
You drinking some of that lean? Ain't that what they call it? Lean, yeah, turf, yeah. Whatever that stuff is.
Oh, that's what Jeudy was drinking.
Oh boy, stop, man.
Oh, we shall see.
You got some of that New York good stuff. If you think the Clippers are better than the Lakers,
I've seen what the Clippers can do.
You got Dudley going. You got Dudley going at PG, man. You're gonna wake a sleeping giant. He ain't gonna be pandemic.
Whatever, man. We not. Trust me, man. We not worried about a team renting in our building.
I believe, actually, it's the Kings that own the building, right? Isn't that really who owns the building, the L.A. Kings?
No, it's Lakers, Kings. I think it's Lakers, Kings, because the owner, Phil Hanshew's, his biggest piece out of the sports franchises, I believe, is the
Kings.
Is the Lakers. And then I don't know if he owns the Kings outright, but I think the biggest piece of his sports thing is the Lakers. Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what owner got more money. Ooh, I'll buy my old damn stadium.
I don't know. To be honest with you. Oh, you mean Ballmer.
Yeah.
Well, of course, though, man. When you get to that level, it ain't about who got the most, because I can buy the same thing you can buy. You buy a plane, I can buy a plane. You buy a boat, I can buy a boat. You want to buy an island, I can buy an island. That's like you and Han. When y'all start talking, Han says this, you say, I can do that. It's the same thing. Same conversation, just at a different level.
That is true. But I'll tell you what. We cannot this time around. We have to get the conference finals we need between the Lakers and Clippers. It has to happen.
Yes.
Everybody loves the Nuggets. Everybody loves all these other stuff. Utah Jazz. Key, if we do not get Lakers-Clippers, if we're robbed of that, then it's still, to me, it's not – the finals won't be
We just need the Lakers to do their part and show up. We know the Clippers are there. We need the Lakers.
The Lakers won a championship.
Falls in the woods and nobody's there to see it. Did it really happen?
Key, like your Bucks. That's just one.
You getting ready to be that guy, huh? Come on, man. You wasting airspace now.
Oh, my God.
Did it really happen? You know how hard it is to stay focused in a pandemic? It was so hard to stay focused. Lou Williams, the moment he got a chance to hit the street.
It'd be calling me, man. It'd be calling me.
Oh, man. We got plenty of time to talk about
the moment that Lou Williams was able to escape the bubble. He went for lemon pepper chicken wings, extra crispy, all flat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He went for something else, too. The Boom Boom Room.
Because he couldn't take it no more.
Why do you think the All-Star Game?
So to stay in focus? Come on.
I agree with you on that. And that's why the All-Star Game is in Atlanta, because now nobody has to break the bubble to get what they
Why would you even have an All-Star Game, though? That doesn't. Well, I understand economically. I get it. The money is there. They're not trying to get back a couple hundred million dollars.
A lot of guys agree with that. But a lot of guys agree with that. Is this the time?
Everybody
should have the All-Star Game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a weird look to do it, but it seems like a lot of players are going to go because they know they need to be. I know LeBron certainly made his statements about it, but we'll see. You know, they want to have it. They need it. They're trying to do the right things with it, but we'll see what happens. We've got plenty of time to talk about NBA, though, once the Super Bowl's over. Key, we got to run. Great to catch up with you, as always. We appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, Brody.
Wait, I got something else to say. I'm like Bart. No, I'm gone.
Wrap it up, B.
That's Keyshawn Johnson giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bart, speaking of wrap it up, real quick here on 1-800-FLOWERS.
Absolutely. Everyone knows that Valentine's is right around the corner, and it's all about the wow factor. So give her the ability and the reason to brag with the enviable bouquet of red roses from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, 1-800-Flowers.com has an amazing offer for our listeners. Get 18 red roses for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. To order 18 red roses for $39.99 or to upgrade them to 24 red roses for only $10 more, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter promo code BART. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, promo code BART. Hurry! Offer expires. It's over. It's a wrap today. Back after this.
Bart and Han.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Music gets you ready, Bart.
It was a cold day in the Packers of Green Bay. The Packers of Green Bay
going you against also the coming to America?
Dallas. The Packers of Green Bay kicked this thing through a big H.
An oblong ball through a giant H.
Son, I'm going to tell you this only once. If you want to work here, you got to stay off the drugs. Yes.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. By the way, the Undefeated on ESPN Plus offers fans year-round premium content highlighting the intersectionality of race, culture, and sports. Check out new premium storytelling, your favorite ESPN films, and more exclusively on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com. You can see us every day.
Cheese.
Noon Eastern. Checking us out. Haircut time, I'll tell you that.
Man, I have
Bart, let me give you a couple of useless facts. We're going to do lunch money coming up in a little bit.
Give me that Tampa bar.
Yeah, no, I know. You're about that. But we're going to do lunch money in the next segment, and we'll finish up the year. It's going to make you some cash. We got some picks up, some fun with it, a couple of props as well. But I want to give you a couple of useless facts, if I may. All right, so how about this? The Bucks are choosing to wear white jerseys. In 13 of the last 16 Super Bowls, the winner wore white jerseys. Brady has worn white in each of his last four Super Bowl appearances. He's 4-1 when wearing a white jersey. 2-2 when he was wearing blue. Does that matter to you?
Yeah, that does, man. Superstitious. Athletes are the most superstitious people in the world, man. So he's 4-1. He might be due for an L.
How about this? Sal Palantonio was on Get Up. You know what he said about the officiating crew for Sunday?
Mm.
You're not going to like this.
I was there.
Yeah, that's right. You do know about this then, obviously.
Cheat.
They led the league in flags per game, 16, fourth most offensive holding penalties called with this crew. Let them play, boys. Let them play.
Yeah, but
don't need to see the laundry on the field.
Yeah, but that's going to be bad for Kansas City because you know if anybody's going to have to hold or try and strategically hold without getting caught, it's going to have to be Rimmers going against JPP and Barrett on the other side, Sue firing off the ball. So you talk about maybe Kansas City getting some huge plays and them being called back and then going back and being behind the sticks. Huge potential.
I'll tell you what, though, that and other things going to factor in as we do lunch money. That is coming up next. But, Bart, first, you have this from DraftKings.
Oh, absolutely. DraftKings.
Oh, you do.
No, just playing. Download the DraftKings app and use promo code BART to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this weekend with the first deposit minimum. $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Lunch money.
Bart and Han.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's get some extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Lunch Money with Bart and Han. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so let's set it up the right way. And we will make our picks at the very end here. But I'll give you a little trivia to start out, Bart. You ready for this?
Yes.
So Tom Brady is 41-17-1 against the spread in his career when he's an underdog. He's 36-23 outright. All right, he's 6-3 outright and against the spread as a postseason underdog. That's tied with Joe Flacco for second most underdog wins in the playoffs in the Super Bowl era. Hmm. Who do you think has the most? Who has the most wins as an underdog in Super Bowl era playoff history?
I'm trying to think of the people.
Now, Brady's an underdog in this game, just so everybody understands why I'm doing this.
I would say maybe Brett Favre.
You can do better than that.
Okay, let's go with Kurt Warner.
How about this? Tom Brady. I mentioned Tom Brady. J-Dub already got it.
Yeah, I would have thought maybe Ben Roethlisberger.
But who beat Tom Brady twice in a Super Bowl?
Yeah, that would be deliver us from Eli.
Eli Manning, 7. By the way, Brady is 2-0 this season as a postseason underdog. Can he be 3-0? That we will get to in a minute. So the line is 3. The Chiefs.
Hold on. Flacco is like the
second
right
most underdog wins in playoff in the playoffs. He and Tom Brady 7.
Six each. I can't be that too far behind.
But underdog wins in the playoffs.
I got a lot of road playoff wins, baby, as underdogs. I was with Joe Flacco. I was with Mark Sanchez those 2 years, and in those Super Bowl runs. Put me on the damn list. Never mind. I keep going.
You know what?
Oh, I'm not a quarterback. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, everything's about, to Keyshawn's point, everything is about the damn quarterback. The people on the damn field. And trust me.
Are you going to be all right now? Can we do this? Can we make some money today? Are you that into yourself right now instead of our pockets? It's about us making money.
Woo-sah. I'm back.
Ready? Quiet coyote. Okay, now we're good.
Let's do it.
So, anyways. Championship odds, by the way. So the Bucks opened at 50-1 to win this Super Bowl. Then Tom Brady signed and it moved to 16-1. And then when the season started, it moved to 11-1. And right now, like I said, they are 3-point dogs for this game, despite being literally the home team. So we'll leave it at that. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's first do some props on the players. What would you say over under on Tariq Hill receiving yards at 92.5? You going over or under?
Over. He's definitely going over 100. Agreed. He gonna get there. You can't take away everything. You can only hold him down. You can't stop him. You only can hope to contain him.
We both agree. So mark us down. We both have the over of 92.5 on Tariq Hill receiving yards. Travis Kelce receptions in the game. The over under is marked at 8.5. You going over or under?
I'm going under. I think they're going to double him everywhere he goes, and he's going to have to stay in the block because those tackles are being backups.
All right, so we both take the under on Kelce at 8.5. Mahomes' touchdown passes, they have 2.5.
Oh, over. I'm taking over on that.
You're taking over, so he'll have at least 3 touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a drag out game. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a high scoring game too. So okay, so we'll both agree on Mahomes over. Now on the Bucs side of things, Tom Brady touchdown passes at 1.5. Will he have at least 2 in this game?
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely
saying over. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to take some shots, man. He knows he's going to have to put up points. No risky, no bisky. Yes, it's all or nothing, baby.
All right. The last on the teams is the Bucs defense. 2.5 sacks, over or under? This is a big one.
Oh, they're going over.
You saw the game.
You saw what they did to A.A. Ryan last week, and A.A. Ryan can get the ball out.
Him, right?
Yeah, he can get the ball out just as fast as Mahomes, and he's more athletic than Mahomes. They got to him 5 times. We were wondering when, you know, Bakhtiari being hurt was going to come back and hurt them.
Oh,
it was last week.
Him.
And so now you talk about Fisher being out. This is the week when it comes to hurt him. Bad week to be out against arguably the best defensive line in the game this season as a unit in a group.
Well done. I completely agree, and I'll take the over on the sack certainly as well. And that'll make it a game, by the way. All right, so for the game, the over-under is at 56 is what I saw. 56 by William Hill, Caesar Sportsbook. 56. Now, you know, that wouldn't be. I mean, that's not among the highest, but that's, I think it's like the fourth highest over-under in Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
Will this go over 56?
Yeah, I got it at 58. I got it. Do I tell my score? What I have it at?
That's at the end. We're going to go at the end.
Okay,
we'll
I got it over. I got it over, just slightly, though.
You have it over?
Yep, over.
Okay, I think so, too. I'm going with the over on that. All right, so that's all the different over-unders and whatnot. Now, let's get to the game. Again, Chiefs laying 3. Let me go first so you have the advantage of using your expertise in explaining. My score is 34-31. Tampa. I think Tampa wins this game. I will take Tampa. I will certainly gladly also take the points. And I really do believe, like, and by the way, my numbers, my Tampa Bay 34 is plus 1,800. My Kansas City scoring 31 is plus 1,200. So I got a good chance to do pretty good in this game. I got Brady as the MVP as well.
Gotcha.
I think JPP could have a shot, but once you get to 31 points, it ain't going to happen for the defense. So that's why I'm going with Brady. What do you say?
Well, I have 31-27 Tampa, and I have really that defense really getting after Mahomes. And look at what this defense did last week, getting the ball out, causing like 3 or 4 turnovers against A-Ron and being able to get the ball out. This team has been opportunistic, and I think for the first time in a long time, we're going to have a defensive player win the MVP. It won't be Dexter Jackson. It won't be a corner. It's going to be, I believe, it's going to be Devin White, who I think could really change the game. He's going to get a lot of targets going against Kelce, deflections.
Right.
He has 9 sacks this year as well. I haven't seen numbers put up like that, 97 tackles, 9 sacks, since this guy named Bart Scott did in 2006.
Yeah, I knew you'd bring yourself in some way, somehow. All right, that's Lunch Money. Guess what? Join us for a special Super Bowl edition of Bart and Hans Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern. See us there, and we will talk more about the big game. Bart, can't wait.
Sunday.
Gotcha.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.